Alrighty, and we are live. Hey everybody, it's the Android Headlines Show. Tonight's going to be episode number 102. It's Thursday, April 2nd, so it doesn't seem like there's going to be any April Fool's jokes tonight. I think we got that all out of our system yesterday with all of Google's probably 100 different April Fool's jokes. So if you haven't seen those, go check them out on YouTube, on the site. They're pretty enjoyable, as they usually are. Google does a pretty bang-up job of April Fool's, so my name is Nick. I'm joined by Alex tonight. How's it going, man?
Hey, what's up, everybody?
So tonight, we pretty much have all the Chrome news you can think of. Google went a little crazy with Chrome OS stuff, so we got Chrome OS, Chromebooks, Chrome Desktop, and even a Chrome Stick. So if Chromecast isn't enough for you, we got another one to throw in the mix that's a little bit different. Alex also has his very own HTC One M9, and he's going to go over that a little bit later in the show. And we're just going to go in depth with a few of the features on there, and he's just going to give his impressions right now. So we'll go ahead and kick this off with the Chromebook stuff. First thing on the list is Google and Hisense. They announced a $149 Chromebook. This thing is powered by, I won't go through all the specs, it's a little boring, but it's powered by a ROC chip, which I know I'm not real familiar with ROC chip. I had to look up some of their stuff, but it basically seems like it's probably comparable to like a Snapdragon 800, somewhere around that level of performance. Quad-core ARM Cortex A17, I'm sorry. So it's similar kind of performance exactly. So pretty decent for Chromebook. Chrome is not a really super heavy OS. The biggest deal is probably RAM. It's got 2 gigs of RAM, which is, I think, pretty standard at this point for Chromebooks. So you shouldn't have a whole lot of performance issues, not a whole lot of page reloading. And again, it's basically just Chrome running on a system anyway. So as long as you can handle those web pages and don't have 50 different tabs open, you'd probably be pretty good. Other than that, you got an 11-inch display on this thing. It's got a 720p webcam built in, and it's got 8.5 hours of battery life. So, you know, use it for your normal going to school, using it for typing up reports, whatever, your normal Chromebook stuff. Seems like it'll last the whole time. It's super light at 2.5 pounds. So I think, you know, most of the time Chromebooks are pretty light, pretty slim. That's just kind of the thing since they don't need a whole lot of horsepower anyway. It's probably the battery that weighs the most.
Yeah.
Of course, you also have a micro SD card reader on board too. So, you know, the Chromebooks don't usually ship with a whole lot of internal memory. The micro SD slot helps in that regard quite a bit.
Yeah, but also with Chrome, you don't really need a lot of onboard storage because, you know, everything's being saved in Google Drive, and you get 100 gigabytes for 2 years. I think on the Pixel, you get a terabyte for 3 years.
Yeah. So. Yeah, you spend the extra money for the Pixel, you get lots of space.
So. Yeah, I still have my terabyte from the first Pixel.
Yeah. So as I was talking to you a little bit before the show started, Alex, I'm pretty surprised at the number of Chromebooks that are out there. I know my mother-in-law and my sister-in-law both have Samsung Chromebooks from, I don't know, 3-4 years ago. And I think I've just kind of heard. Yeah, I think so. I don't remember exactly.
The one that looks just like a MacBook Air.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. That was my first Chromebook, and I wasn't too pleased with it. I mean, it was first ARM Chromebook. Yeah. You know, instead of an Intel chip, it was an ARM-based chip, but Exynos chip. It had a lot of performance issues. Number one, you couldn't even use Netflix on it, which kind of really sucked. But you couldn't really play any video either, for me at least.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's changed now. I haven't used it probably since.
And I could be telling you the wrong model.
Yeah.
It was one of those things where I looked it up when they asked it, you know, they bought it. They both freaking love the things, so I've just never had the need to go look up anything about them because they never, ever have problems.
Yeah, for you know, heavy users like us, it's not enough. But for, you know, like our parents or even our kids or whatever, it's, you know, it's plenty. But for us that are using, you know, 10 plus tabs every day, 2 gigs of RAM is not enough.
Yeah, and I think what the craziest thing here is this thing is $149 for a laptop. Like, just sit and think about that for a second.
And
insanity of the price point on these things.
And it's not even a crappy one with a bunch of bloatware, you know?
Yeah.
It's running Chrome OS, which is going to get updates. I think it's every 6 weeks they do it. And it's going to get updates from Google. I forget how long they said they'll update Chromebooks. I think it's like 2 or 3 years or maybe longer. I think it might be closer to 5. have to look at it later on. But, I mean, for $149, it's pretty good. And it's not the only one out there at that price. Well, no, no, not the only one that got announced at that price.
Correct. And I guess that would lead us into the other brand that announced a $149 Chromebook is Haier. That's H-A-I-E-R. I believe it's pronounced Haier. Maybe Haier or something else. But it's exact same specs pretty much. This one runs a 10-hour battery life, they said. So I'm not sure if that means it's a bigger battery or if they just were a little more, you know, loose with their battery life estimates. But, you know, sometimes a lot of these companies have to go super conservative with them and tell you, it's only going to get 6 hours, and you actually get 12 or some ridiculous number out of it.
Yeah, a lot of time the ones that I get, you know, I think they say like 7 to 8 hours, but I can get like 10 to 12. It all depends on your usage, obviously. If you're watching videos, it's going to die a lot quicker. But these Chromebook batteries, they're amazing.
Yeah, I mean, well, and it makes sense, you know, because they're running the same, you know, kind of ARM processors as you find in a phone.
Yep.
I think the biggest drain would probably be the display at that point.
Oh, yeah.
As long as you don't have the brightness kicked all the way up. I think the brightness on these goes up to 200 nits, so it's pretty decent brightness amount for anything real. I'm sure that's a heck of a lot brighter than my laptop.
I used to keep it, like, halfway, you know, right in the middle. So it's not too low, but, you know, it's bright enough so I can see it.
Yeah, you don't need your eyes to bleed. It's no good for you. I think the other only big difference between this one has a full-size SD card on it rather than the micro SD like the Hisense one has. I think what's going to be interesting to see is whether or not Haier can sell as much as Hisense, because I know, at least in the U.S., the Hisense name is, you know, it's not super popular. It's not like a Sony or a Samsung or something, but I have seen, you know, after Christmas or whatever, people put their TV boxes on the curb. I've seen a couple of Hisense TV boxes. I don't think I've ever seen a Haier one.
Hisense also has a couple of tablets that they put at Walmart. There was one that was basically the Nexus 7 2013, maybe it was a 2012 one, that they put at Walmart, and it was a little bit cheaper than the Nexus 7. And I know a lot of people that bought that thing. I don't know if they liked it or not, but a lot of people bought it.
Yeah, so I would say a lot of these, you know, being all the same specs, probably very similar build, obviously the same exact price, and all running Chrome OS that's going to get the same updates, brand recognition is probably going to be one of the bigger things that'll push sales, unless, you know, of course, Haier decides to get crazy and start advertising all over the place, and they really push that price point, then who the heck knows what could happen. But
right now,
it'll be interesting to see if they do better than Hisense.
Right now, Haier's the only one that's actually available. The Hisense one isn't actually like shipping yet.
Yeah. So, and then we also have the Chromebit, which is that Chrome stick I was talking about earlier. This is not a Chromecast replacement. This is just a new product they're putting on the market. So, basically, if you have a TV with an HDMI port or a USB port or whatever, which should be pretty much every TV out there at this point, you can plug this little thing in there. It's basically a USB stick size thing, just like a Chromecast. The difference is that it runs Chrome OS. And what's even crazier is it's the exact same specs as these other two Chromebooks. So you have your quad-core ROC chip 3288 processor, 2 gigs of RAM, etc., etc. So this is literally a Chromebook that plugs into your TV, but is the size of a USB stick, and you can use, you know, keyboard and mouse on whatever. It's a Chromebook. It's just super portable. Yep. And that's going to be under $100. I don't know if that means $99.99 or if that means $80, but under $100 is what they told us.
And it's still a, you know, pretty good price for what it's packing in there.
Yeah, well, it's the same specs. I mean, I guess the biggest downside would be, you know, obviously it doesn't have a built-in keyboard, touchpad, and display, so you can't just use it by itself. But, I mean, having it on TV is really cool. You know, if you don't want to do something as simple as a Chromecast, this would be a great alternative as like a media center PC, and obviously way easier than a media center PC would be to put together and set up, and it'd probably have a better interface too.
You can even just plug it into your like your desktop or your laptop and, you know, have both OSs right there.
I didn't think about that. That's true.
Yeah.
super easy dual boot solution, and then just, I guess if you want to, you know, be silly at work or something, plug it into your work computer while your boss isn't looking, you know.
And it won't, you know, it won't use up space on your computer too. So if you got, you know, like a small SSD on there, like my MacBook has a 128 SSD, so it won't use up any of that space, which is pretty precious when it's that small.
Sure.
Even though everything I do is cloud storage, so I think I have like 100 gigabytes free.
Yeah. So definitely an interesting product. It is ASUS, so that's you know, definitely a bigger brand name than Haier or Hisense. So especially if they put some kind of advertising behind that, that could sell pretty well. Last up would be Acer. They announced a Chrome Base, which is a desktop Chrome PC. So this thing, I guess, sort of resembles an iMac. It's like a screen with a computer built into the screen, and then it comes with a separate keyboard and mouse. So it's not a portable thing. It actually sits on your desk. It's a 21.5-inch 1080p IPS display. It's actually a touchscreen too, which is pretty cool. So the Chromebooks don't have touchscreens except for the Pixel and the more expensive ones. It's actually a 10-point multi-touch too, so I guess if you want to get your grubby mitts all over the screen, then, you know, go ahead and use all 10 that you got. It's a Tegra K1, so it's much more powerful than these other ones. It's also got an HD webcam, which I don't know if that just means 720p, because the other two have it as well. Maybe it's 1080p, and they'll be nice about it, but, you know, whatever. That'll be up to your internet connection anyway. It's also got twin 3-watt speakers, so you get some pretty decent sound out of this thing. Especially for, you know, an all-in-one PC kind of thing, you usually get some pretty crummy speakers on those sometimes. It's got your usual HDMI, USB 2 and 3, Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, all the way up to 802.11a, and of course the 100 gigs of Google Drive storage. I guess the catch on this, if you will, is they said it'll be out in quarter two, but they didn't give us a price at all. You were kind of guessing it'd be somewhere around $300. I guess that's like the ballpark for these types of products.
Yeah, so LG put out their Chrome Base, I think it was like last year. I think it was like $329, $349. So I'm guessing between like $300 and $400, because the specs are pretty much the same except for the processor. I think they had an Intel in theirs, you know, regular desktop processor instead of a Tegra K1.
Yeah. So the Tegra, I mean, you know, the Intel probably pretty decent gaming too, but the Tegra, the K1 especially, kicks butt in performance. And being on a desktop, you're not going to care about battery life. So this
And how many games are you going to actually play in Chrome that's going to take advantage of the K1?
Yeah, I guess that's the thing. I mean, we've seen, I think Google this week opened up development for all Android developers to port their apps to Chrome OS, right? Like an easier way.
Yep.
So we could see a lot more stuff coming in the future. You know, of course, you have the stuff that's out there now, whatever, people might develop for it, but I think the thing that's always perplexed me is, why would you want a desktop running Chrome OS? It seems like a weird decision, because Chrome OS has traditionally just been like, you know, it's super light, it doesn't take a lot to run it. You know, it's got some pretty decent support, but it's not like Windows or other desktop operating systems that have, you know, an absolute boatload of applications and productivity stuff and all that stuff that you can run. This is now fairly basic. It's Google Docs. Again, you have all of your Chrome extensions and that sort of thing, but it seems kind of like a super niche product for sure.
I think it would be good for, like, you know, grandparents that don't want a laptop because the screen is so small, but don't need anything more than a browser, which is what Chrome OS is, basically. You know, a 21-inch 1080p display is going to be a whole lot better than an 11-inch 1366x768 display.
Yeah.
Especially for, like, your grandparents that, you know, didn't really grow up with the technology that we did. So they're not as into it as we are.
Exactly. But yeah, I'm sure it would work well for schools, too, or things like that. You put it in a lab or whatever, and it's just, all right, here you go. Here's docs. You can't really screw anything up. You're good.
I can't really screw anything up on Chrome anyways.
Yeah, it's pretty safe.
Yeah, we also put out our top 10 Chromebooks it was for March when we put it out. On that list, we have the Toshiba Chromebook 2 coming at number 10, followed by the ASUS C300 and then the Lenovo N20P, which is a touchscreen Chromebook. I think it's like between 250 and 300. And then we have HP's Chromebook 14. This is the second generation one, so it's got the Tegra K1 inside. And at number six, we have the Acer C720. This is the Core i3 model, Intel Core i3. So it's pretty powerful. It's the 4005U, which is 1.7 gigahertz speed. So it's pretty decent. And then we have the Samsung Chromebook 2, which is another ARM-based Chromebook. And followed by the Acer CB5, which is their 13-inch Tegra K1 Chromebook here. And then we have Dell's Chromebook 11. This is also the Intel Core i3 model, so it's pretty powerful as well. And at number two, we have the Chromebook Pixel, which a lot of people were surprised at that being number two instead of number one. Of course, it's got that $999 price tag, but it does have 8 gigs of RAM. And number one is actually the one I've got sitting behind me right now that I'm in process of reviewing, is the Acer Chromebook 15. The model I have is 4 gigs of RAM. I think it's 32 gigs of storage as well. I didn't really look at the storage because it doesn't really matter much to me. But that's the top 10 Chromebooks for March. So there's that.
Yep. And then the last little bit of news here we have before you show off the 1M9 is LG. They announced a worldwide event for April 28th. So this is particularly interesting because there were rumors for a long time that the G4 might get announced at Mobile World Congress. I think most of us thought that that wouldn't happen because they don't want to get overshadowed by HTC and Samsung. It's just too many big phones to keep track of at once. So this is going to be their event. It's the end of the month. It will definitely be the G4. What's really interesting about the G4 is it looks like it might be packing the Snapdragon 808. More than likely, if you've been keeping up on any Android news in the last 3 or 4 months, you've probably heard about the Snapdragon 810 overheating issues. Qualcomm has repeatedly denied this stuff. Various OEMs like LG and HTC have said, oh yeah, you know, we used to have problems, but we fixed those, and you know, there's obviously been issues in the process with overheating, with performance, with a number of other things. So the rumor is that LG basically decided, all right, we're done trying to fix this thing. We're going to just go with the 808, which is a 6-core instead of an 8-core chip. Basically, it's a dual core, like a powerful dual core and a low power quad core, whereas the 810 is 2 quad cores. So it's not going to be as powerful, but that inherently means that it's going to run much cooler and probably get better battery life too. Doesn't necessarily mean it, but you know, we'll see when that actually happens. We don't have any phones with the 808 in it yet. Benchmark wise, you know, it's not going to perform like the Exynos is in the Galaxy S6. It's not going to perform like the 810 does in the HTC One M9. So that kind of leaves us thinking, is the G4 going to be LG's flagship this year or not?
We've actually heard from LG that there will be they said another flagship. So yes. This is like their, mid-range flagship device. But they said there's going to be a new line coming later this year, so I'm guessing IFA probably. Yep.
So I guess their first flagship this year is the G Flex 2, which you have. I don't know if you finished that review up or not. I know you talked to me about that the other day.
Yeah, I submitted the review today, so it'll probably go out this weekend.
Okay, so there you go.
I noticed a lot of performance issues with this compared to the M9.
Yeah.
The M9 is, like, perfect as far as performance goes. This thing, man.
Yeah, so I'm wondering in that case, is that the 810 to blame? You know, is that just something that HTC was able to work out?
Or is it LG software? You know, I think it's both. I mean, it's obviously it's the 810, but I think it's more than just the 810. There's a lot of lag with it. I actually put this in my review, but the other day, you know, I woke up, picked up the phone, you know, to check my email and stuff like that, like I do every day. Pressed the power button, nothing happened for about a minute, so I thought, or maybe not quite a minute, but like, you know, longer than usual. So I thought the phone died, like it didn't charge or something the night before. Pressed it again and it turned on. So it was just, I don't know. It's like a little laggy. Also, I opened up Chrome the other day. Went to type the status bar or the address bar, you know, to go to a different website.
Yep.
And it just took forever just to highlight it and then for the keyword to pop up.
Yes, it and sounds like it's turtling like crazy. Probably getting too hot.
It wasn't even getting hot. It was just... I actually have a system monitor installed on here. It's a really good app. It shows like everything. And the temperature, yeah. I don't know if you probably can't really see that, but it says the max temp is 99 Fahrenheit. The M8 or M9 got a whole lot hotter than that. And
I was going to say, 99 is not bad at all.
No, that's about what the Z3 does when it's charging. So, And the min was or minimum was 68. So it... The temperature isn't bad, but if you look at, where is it, the frequencies, the highest it's gotten is 1.6 gigahertz, and it hardly ever hits that. So they really throttled it. I mean, you could feel the heat sometimes. Like, if you're using it when it's charging on the turbocharger, you could feel it. It does have quick charge because it is a Qualcomm 800 series,
yep.
Or Snapdragon 800 series. But yeah, it's not... pretty. And battery life does suffer, but I'm not completely sure it's all the A10's fault, because it is on Sprint, and there's a lot of areas around here that doesn't have signal from Sprint. Like when I was walking down the River Rock along the Detroit River, actually the only one I guess signal over there now is T-Mobile, and they didn't used to get signal over there, so I don't know what they've done different. But no signal at all from Sprint, and it was searching the whole time, so that probably didn't help either.
Yeah, that'll definitely do it. So that'll be good to read. It sounds slightly disappointing. I know I was hoping the G Flex 2 would be pretty gangbusters phone, but what are you going to do? That line seems to be doomed right now.
Yeah, if it went for the performance, it would be a really good phone because the red is hot.
Yeah, I know. When I saw the thing at CES, I was like, holy crap, this is a sweet color.
Yeah, I saw it at MWC as well. I'm like, I have to get that one for review. I can't get the Platinum Silver one. I need the exclusive Volcano Red.
Yeah, the gray's a little too boring for me.
Yeah.
So, speaking of gray, I assume you have a gray One M9.
Yep, it's the... Well, let me take off this Incipio case that I've been reviewing. It's the gunmetal gray. This thing is so hard to take off.
That's good. It means it won't fall out, right?
Yeah. This is the Octane, it's TPU, but it's not like super flexible like regular TPU cases.
Yeah. More rigid.
Yeah, it's like $25, but it's not even available yet, so that review went up today as well. So here's the One M9, the gunmetal gray. This is actually the T-Mobile version, but you can't see till because there's no branding. So that's something T-Mobile has been like, they've kind of been a little bit weird. Some phones have branding, some phones don't, so it's kind of hard to tell sometimes. One of the features I really like is their themes. I wrote up a pretty big feature on that earlier this week, but basically you can customize everything in the themes. So if you scroll down, you can see... kind of hard to do it this way, but you can change the wallpapers, the icons, sounds, the fonts. Right now I have, I think it's just Roboto Slab is the font I have on here. But you can also create your own theme from your wallpaper. So if you get like a material wallpaper that you want to make a theme from, you just go into the theme app and hit that plus sign up there at the top. And I'll do that real quick. And basically... it'll show you about 6 different themes that you can choose from. So here they are right here. This is actually a stock HTC one here, wallpaper. And if you want to edit anything in it, you can go ahead and click edit, and you can't really see it. But you can change the wallpaper, change the textures and colors, the icons, the sounds and fonts, and then preview and see if you like it, you know, and then finish and name it whatever you want. You can even submit it to their theme store. And if you want to get super advanced, you can download their, I think it's a Photoshop template, and create your own theme from scratch. So it's really in depth, and it's really nice actually. Blinkfeed is still here. I mean, works great, about as great as it's always worked. Of course, you've got Android Headlines in there, so make sure you subscribe to us through there, so you can see our stuff everywhere. One thing that I'll say, compare this to the G Flex 2, is they've done quick settings correctly on people of the G Flex 2. The G Flex 2's quick settings, it's just a scrollable list up there like you have on KitKat or LG's horrible. KitKat.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. What you can do on HTC, though, is you can edit them. Well, you can't see that, but you can edit them, you know, rearrange them, add other ones, but you can only add a maximum of 12. I guess that makes sense because it's four rules of three up there. What I also like is when you just pull down the notification tray like that, you have settings right there, so you don't have to pull it down again to get into settings.
That is nice. That is definitely an annoyance on the iPhone.
Let's see, what else? Battery life has been, you know, some people said it's inconsistent. For me, it's pretty much been consistent. I have had to worry a couple times if I'm going to make it through the day, and coming from the Xperia Z3, I'm not used to that. I have been able to make it through the day, even on LTE, even streaming Spotify on LTE for a couple hours. But for the most part, I mean, battery life, it's hard to tell because in since 4 Plus, if they don't show you your on-screen time, so it's hard to compare to your other devices.
Interesting.
Where is it? Is this one it?
How much have you used the camera so far? Because I'm of course curious about that.
So here's a battery screen from, I don't know what day this was, but took it off just before 11 a.m. and then put it back or charged it, you know, just after 12, and it had 14% left. The camera, I mean, well, I got pretty good pictures out of it. The shutter, man, that thing is still so fast. I mean, you don't even know you took the picture. You just tap it and it's already done.
That's good.
That's something.
Yeah, I like to hear that because, I mean, how many friggin' phones, you press it and it takes like a half a second, a full second. It's really annoying.
Sony's is pretty fast, but HTC is like even before you press it.
it predicts when you want to take the picture.
It was like that in M8. At least when it launched, it was like that in the M8. You know, everybody complained about the megapixel size, but the pictures I got from the M9 have been pretty good. I know a lot of other, I've heard some other reviews, and a lot of other people didn't get that either. But, I mean, you want to check out the pictures, they're in the review that's over on the site. It might be in the feature section. I'm not sure if it's still there or not, but it was. Boom sound is even better. Qualcomm did immersive audio. They did it's in the A10, and it'll be in the A20 as well when that comes out later, I think later this year. But immersive audio, it's like surround sound from your phone. I got a demo of it at MWC. Couldn't really, you know, do hands-on because can't really take pictures of audio. So can really only talk about it, not really, you know, show it off. But with boom sound, you can switch between theater and music mode. And theater mode is so much better. It's basically, you know, surround sound from your two front-facing speakers on the HTC M9 or One M9. And then music mode is just the regular, you know, boom sound. It's with Dolby Audio now. Because last year, I don't think they partnered with anybody near. Before, it was Beats Audio, which...
Yeah.
They bought their stake from HTC back. what else? I mean, compared to last year, compared to the M8 and even the M8 Mini, well, the one remixed because I had the Ryzen model, it's a lot better to hold in the hand, and it's because of like the little shelf here that kind of looks like there's a case. it makes it so much easier to hold on to. It's also smaller. The overall size is smaller than M8.
That's good.
Which you won't really notice because it's not that much smaller. It's shorter, but it's still pretty tall, especially when you compare it to other devices. Like here we have the Nexus 6 and the M9.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So that software power button, is that on by default? Is that something you can shut off?
I haven't changed them at all, and it's just the regular stuff.
I remember complaining about that when they announced it.
Yeah, you can change those buttons. Where is it? I think it's under display. Maybe not. Double tap is here, too. I know you love that.
Excellent. Now the question is, does it use the proximity sensor? Because that's always a screw-up that people seem to constantly overlook on these phones.
I don't think it does. I haven't really...
Because a lot of these phones, like this one phone that I'm reviewing now, the Ulefone B Pro, just like a bunch of other Chinese phones, it's got the double tap to wake, which is great, but it doesn't check the proximity sensor. So if it's in your pocket and it's hitting against your leg, you know, two steps and it turns on and now you're dialing people and all kinds of crap because it doesn't realize it's in your pocket.
Yeah, it hasn't done that to me. I mean, it's been in my pocket with my camera, my Z3, the G Flex 2, and it hasn't, like, turned on or anything.
That's good.
I actually really like the phone. I mean, overheating isn't really an issue on the M9. It does get warm, but I only noticed it getting warm if I'm running a benchmark or I have it plugged into the turbocharger and using it. Obviously, it's going to get hot. Even the Z3 does that, and it's got the 801. Having said that, it's not as snappy as the Z3, and that's likely due to the thermal throttling. But, you know, the average consumers that are going to buy this aren't going to notice that. I didn't even notice it. It's fast enough,
I'm sure.
Until I turned on my Z3 today for the first time since I've had the M9, which has been like 2 weeks, I didn't really notice the difference. But using them side by side, I did notice
it.
But that could also be because I'm using Nova Launcher on the Z3 instead of Sony's launcher. But yeah, that's the M9. Review went up on Monday, I believe.
Nice.
It's a really great phone. We're cranking out lots of content on this, you know, before we get our hands on the S6, because then we'll become Samsung headlines, as everybody calls us.
Pretty much. That's how it goes, you know?
Yep.
So, good to hear HTC seems to have cranked out another good phone. I know there's been plenty of criticism on it, but I think, for the most part, they do a pretty bang-up job every year. So, I don't know. We'll see if next year they, you know, fix even more criticisms that people have had with this one. So,
yeah,
I guess if you don't have anything else...
There's always going to be something that people are going to criticize about the phone.
There's nothing you can do about that.
I think they do that on purpose, though, so they can make a new one next year. Because once you have a perfect phone, what's the point of making another one?
Yeah, exactly.
Yep, that's all I got.
All right, cool. So everybody out there, remember to subscribe to us on all the things. If you don't already, subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app. You'll probably find us on there. Of course, you got Twitter and Instagram. We're on there as Android Headline without the S. Google Plus, Facebook, Pinterest should all be Android Headlines with the S. And, of course, YouTube with plenty of other content as well. So... have a good night, everyone. See you next week.
See you, buddy.